Drivers, start your engines!
It's time for the fastest hour of radio, Southern Race Week, with your host, William Barber.
Race fans, it is time for another edition of Southern Race Week podcast with me, WB, aka William Barber, whatever you want to call me. The IRS calls me by several names. And, of course, the man sitting high atop his pit box, none other than Alfie. What's going on, brother?
Glad to be with you again, WB, for another all-new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio. And even though we're recording this on a Wednesday, I got to tell you, I'm still recovering from Race Weekend at Echo Park Speedway, the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart Race Weekend, William. The O'Reilly Auto Parts race took 4 hours to run. They had four red flags and a record 13 caution flags, with Justin Allgaier coming away with a victory there in the O'Reilly Series race. And then the Cup Series race, William, we started at 7:20 p.m. on a Sunday, and then wrapped up that race a little bit after 2 a.m. on Monday morning. So a three-hour rain delay was in the middle of the second and third stages of that race. And unfortunately, I had my family there. We weren't able to stay for the whole evening. We left at 1 o'clock in the morning. From Echo Park Speedway on Monday, and then no more than probably a half hour after that, or another 45 minutes, Ryan Blaney came away with a victory. And one of the prizes he got from winning the race was a motorcycle. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's footage of him riding his motorcycle, his newly winned motorcycle, around the track as well. So who knows what time he finally decided to leave the track on Monday morning, man. But what an amazing weekend, William, and also just two amazing races as well. I mean, what an amazing weekend of racing at Echo Park Speedway. I know you were there as well. What did you take away from the weekend at Echo Park Speedway, William?
Well, I don't want to say weekend. I want to say it was a week full of adventures.
It was like we were hanging out with Blaney on Saturday morning. Thursday, we were hanging out with the camping people, all the campers and all this other good stuff. Friday, we were hanging out with campers and doing ticket giveaways. And Saturday, Sunday, and everything else, man, I've never sweat so much in my entire life. And yet gained so many pounds in my struggle to lose a little bit of weight, because I was eating all that fantastic concession foods at Echo Park Speedway. Dude, I loved it. It was great. But I'm just here to tell you, it wasn't a weekend. It was like a 4-day, 5-day deal with me and everything else. So, I thought it was great. Everybody says Saturday's race was awesome. Nobody wants to see a delay in a race with rain and everything else. But the thing is, like, I thought that if the rain was going to come, it would come while the sun was still up, but it came after the sun went down. And dude, there was, it was one of those situations where, if you were in the suite, you were in club one or whatever else, you had to ride it out, ride or die kind of situation. But, we ended up getting kicked out of our suite at 11 o'clock, from the Southern Race Week suite. And then as soon as I get home, which I don't live but like 12 miles from the racetrack, the race is back on again. So, I ended up going to bed about 3:30 in the morning on Monday morning, and, didn't go to work on Monday at all. Didn't go to work. Thanks to ALMcars.com. I don't have to. Thank you. ALMcars.com. If you need a ride, go check out our guys at almcars.com. Anyway.
Well, let me tell you something, William. I'm going to give the MVP award to all the fans at Echo Park Speedway, because once that rain delay was done and they fired up the engines to pick up the racing there, there was still a big-sized crowd in the infield and in the stands. So it was just amazing. They were all on their feet. They were there till the very end, 2 o'clock in the morning when that checker flag was waving in the air. There was still a good-sized crowd there at Echo Park Speedway. So if you were there till the end, I want to give you the MVP award for the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart Race Week and MVP award. So just great fans out there. Looking forward to returning next summer for what is now going to be the Dollar Tree 400. William, I don't know if you saw the news, but it was just released that the next year's summer NASCAR weekend event at Echo Park Speedway will now be the Dollar Tree 400.
Dollar Tree is a great connection. You know, it's going to be a great situation. But Alfie, I do got to give a shout out to all the race fans that posted up and tagged us in their photos from Southern Race Week about how they won tickets from us, and they posted up the photos of their family and their friends, their cousins, neighbors, and everything else on Southern Race Week. Thank y'all for tagging us. We sure do appreciate it. And, you know, hey, it was a great weekend, but we're getting ready to go to the next racetrack in the NASCAR circuit.
We have another star-studded edition of Southern Race Week Radio coming up this week in just moments. We're going to talk NASCAR with our NASCAR insider, Mark Garrow. And then also, we will talk about NHRA action coming up this weekend in Sonoma. So we'll have Elon Warner joining us to preview that, talk some NHRA, and a little change to the start of the 2027 season in the NHRA series as they announced the first four events for next year. And then also, William, coming up next Thursday, which is the 23rd of July, it'll be the championship round of Thursday Thunder that will wrap up another season of this fantastic event. And we'll speak with Jensen Jorgensen, one of the drivers in the Pro Division Series, about his recent win at Charlotte earlier this week, and also his domination of Thursday Thunder here in 2026. But before we get to that, though, real quickly, let's take a look at the events that are coming up this weekend in the racing world. In the Cup Series, we'll head over to North Wilkesboro Speedway for the first points race in 30 years for the Window World 450. That'll be Sunday, July 19th. It'll be another night race as the green flag will drop at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then over in the IndyCar Series, the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix from Nashville Super Speedway. That'll be on Sunday, July 19th on Fox. The green flag will drop at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then, as I mentioned, the NHRA Series will be in action this weekend, July 17th through the 19th for the Sonoma Nationals from Sonoma Raceway. So there you go, William. Oh, before I let you go, for that Cup Series race, you can catch the race on TNT and radio coverage provided by the Performance Racing Network. So there you go, William. That is the latest in racing news this week on Southern Race Week Radio.
We have plenty more Southern Race Week coming your way, bumping, beating, and banging. All you need to know, thanks to ALMCars.com. Y'all stick around because we have more in store for you right after this.
Hey, this is Jamie McMurray, and you're listening to Southern Race Week.
All right, welcome back into this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio for you here along the far-flung Southern Race Week Radio Network. It's Alfie, as we continue on this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio, as well here on the Southern Race Week Radio podcast, as well as this. We just wrapped up another great race weekend at Echo Park Speedway, the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart Race Weekend. We had a lot of racing going on, some rain in the area as well, but we were able to lock things in, and Ryan Blaney came away with the victory in the Cup Series race. To talk about that race, Echo Park Speedway, and also some other NASCAR news and information as well, we want to bring in a great friend of the show, and always look forward to talking to this gentleman as well when we talk NASCAR. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in a great friend of the show, Mr. Mark Garrow. Mr. Garrow, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this week here on Southern Race Week Radio. Hopefully you're having a great day today, my friend.
Absolutely, absolutely. Getting ready to go up to North Wilkesboro, watch the cars tour and watch some trucks and some cup. So it is going to be my actually first weekend back watching any kind of cup racing since I hung up the microphone a little bit there at the end of December.
Oh, you know what? I was going to talk about Echo Park Speedway, but you know what? You brought up North Wilkesboro, Mr. Garrow, and I kind of want to let's look at that race coming up this weekend. I think it's been 30 years since we had a point race at North Wilkesboro Speedway. Now, the last few years, they've had that facility as the all-star race venue, but now this year, the first race ever that's going to be up for points. Did you ever think you would see the day again where we'd be points racing at North Wilkesboro Speedway?
I remember sitting in row one in turn four of the last cup race at North Wilkesboro back in the 90s and thinking this is something we will never see again, which is why I came out of a broadcast area or media center type thing to sit in the stands to just try to soak it in. And, you know, again, I didn't think I'd be able to experience that. Then Marcus Smith and SMI, they decide to reinvigorate the racetrack and we run an all-star race or two. And I thought, well, this is great, but they'll never run a points race here. And here we are. And I think it is a great thing for NASCAR. I think it's a great thing for the Cup Series.
What's your anticipation of the difference between racing in North Wilkesboro as an all-star race to now racing there with a full field and points on the line?
Well, I also think you have to put into the mix, we are six races away from the end of the regular season. So the guys down there in positions 14, 15, 16, trying to hold, you know, Austin Cindric, Shane Van Gisbergen, and Eric Jones, trying to hold out Joey Logano, Ryan Preece, Brad Keselowski, and Ross Chastain from breaking into the top 16. They may have to race a little bit differently. So when you have 450 laps and you have a full field of cars, again, rule one on short tracks is to survive the opening stage or two on the lead lap, number one. Stay out of trouble, keep four fenders, four tires on the car, and hopefully have a chance to fight for a top 10, top five, and a win in the final stage. But again, it'll be a different race because there's more on the line in this event because of the points, because of where this race falls in the regular season. So it should be pretty interesting. I think that the guys that are safely in the top 16 have already won. They can be more aggressive than the drivers who haven't.
Now, you brought up SVG just a couple of minutes ago. He's one of those drivers that has floated inside that top 16. What are your thoughts on his improvements as far as on the ovals and being able to be consistent and have himself in a position to possibly race in the chase for a championship?
Well, I was impressed by SVG at Echo Park Speedway over the weekend. What we saw in that race that began on Sunday ended, of course, on Monday morning. He was very aggressive. You know, there was a time where he'd get pushed around. He kind of took it. He knew he was the guy, the rookie, the man with the yellow bumper. And then as time has gone on, not only has he learned better at the craft of racing on an oval, but the cars have gotten a little better for Trackhouse here lately. And again, the SVG that we saw at Echo Park Speedway Sunday and Monday, not the same one we would have seen a year ago or 2 years ago. He has the experience now, and he's willing to get in there and mix it up. Not afraid to hurt anybody's feelings. At one point, of course, you're the new guy on the block. You try to race and not create enemies. Now I think SVG feels like he belongs.
Speaking with Mark Garrow, a NASCAR insider here on this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio. And one of the interesting parts of Echo Park Speedway Race Weekend, Mark, was we had four drivers who were summoned over the NASCAR hauler. Of course, we've had some situations with Zane Smith and Carson Hocevar, and of course with SVG and Austin Hill, what happened in Chicago, and also they've had some run-ins over the last few races. And before we went on the air here, we were kind of talking about rivalries in NASCAR. that was something that we saw a lot in the Cup Series in the 80s and 90s, the rivalries between certain drivers. You knew when certain drivers got closer to each other that they were going to race each other hard or put them each other into the wall. We hadn't really had those kind of rivalries over the last few years, but now it seems that we've got a couple of these rivalries with these drivers. What are your thoughts on that? And also, do you think that rivalries is what makes NASCAR such a great sport?
I think it certainly adds to it. And I think there have been times that NASCAR has been a little heavy-handed when rivalries begin to develop. And so there's a fine line. And I think the big thing is when you have a rivalry, say it's SVG and Austin Hill, and they decide they want to duke it out, you just have to make sure that they're punching each other. And when they try to go score a knockout, if you will, they're not taking out anybody else but the guy that they're trying to go after. That's the big thing. So when you have a rivalry, the guys involved in it have to be careful as they go after each other not to take any innocent victims and not to have somebody who was standing off to the side catch a grenade and then all of a sudden their car is wrecked. So rivalries are great for it. Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt. You look at Bill Elliott, Dale Earnhardt. You had, you know, Darrell Waltrip and Dale Earnhardt. At times, Darrell Waltrip against the world early on. Again, you know, and you know, at times it's Carson Hocevar. You mentioned Zane Smith, but there are times when it's Carson Hocevar against the field because it seems like everybody has something that they owe Carson Hocevar, or at least they say that. But rivalries are very good for NASCAR. It is what built this sport. Bobby Allison, Richard Petty, right at the very beginning, you know, NASCAR made a big deal about how these guys didn't like each other and they were always banging and crashing and all this kind of stuff. And little did we know at the time, we would find out later that Bobby and Richard would fly to races together, right? They kind of knew how the game had to be played. And yes, they had, you know, a fierce competition, but they kind of knew how to kind of play into it. And that, of course, brought more fans. So I think NASCAR would be much better off if we had some strong rivalries out there. And we've got a lot of great drivers and a lot of very aggressive drivers. And, you know, hopefully some more will develop because it's good as long as, again, the two drivers don't take somebody else out when they're deciding to drop the gloves and go after it.
All right, Mr. Guerra, before I let you go, you know, momentum is such a big thing in sports. You know, the 45 had momentum early on in the season, garnishing so many wins and building a big points lead. And now you got Denny Hamlin, who has kind of came in, and Tyler Reddick has had some bad races. And now we've got Denny Hamlin regaining the lead in the standings right now, and he's got some momentum going into the end of the regular season. Does Denny Hamlin your favorite here, or do you see some other drivers possibly, you know, once we get into the chase, could make some noise and maybe give him a run for his money?
Well, clearly, when it comes to the regular season, it's down to Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick. Ryan Blaney in third has a little bit too much ground to make up, but it is possible. The math at this point says that it is possible. But it's Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick, and they have shown the most speed all season long. Toyota has clearly shown at most racetracks, at most races, they have an advantage. And when you look at the top five in points right now, you've got three Toyotas. Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick, Ty Gibbs there, and Christopher Bell also in the top 10 with Chase Briscoe. So again, there's five Toyotas there, and again, I think it's very interesting to see what's going to happen with them. Will they retain that advantage once the playoffs start? But I think right now, you know, Denny Hamlin is the favorite. I think Denny Hamlin, for the first time in his career, is the fan favorite, given the way he lost the championship in such an agonizing fashion last season. The fact then in the offseason, he went through the personal tragedy of having his mom and dad injured in a fire, his dad passing away. So Denny, I think, has not only turned into the garage favorite, but I think he might be the favorite in the grandstand right now. And that's the first time, I believe, in his career that you're going to have more people cheering for Denny Hamlin than booing should he win more races and eventually win a championship. And now that I don't have to broadcast races, I'm just going to say it straight up. I want Denny Hamlin to win a championship. He should have won it last year, and that was one of the most unbelievable bad breaks of all time. And I think he deserves it. He's earned it, and I hope this is the year he finally gets it.
Now, Mr. Garrett, our listeners out there want to follow you on social media, maybe get some of your NASCAR inside information. Where can they go to follow you and keep up with you?
Well, you can go to Guru Garrett on, what is it now, Twitter? It's X. And I honestly, since I, you know, got off the air in December, I haven't been doing a lot of it. So I promised myself I'm going to start doing more here in the second half of the season. I started the other night where I stayed up all night, watched the end of the race at Echo Park Motor Speedway, which, by the way, is absolutely the best track in NASCAR right now. It's the only track that no matter what the deal is, what the weather is, it's still the best competition. You never have a bad race at Echo Park Motor Speedway right now. And so that's why I stayed up all night to watch the race. Love that racetrack. It continually amazes me the kind of racing that goes on. So I made a promise the other night. I said, you know what? I got to get back on social media, do a little bit more. People think that I'm out there not watching racing and staying on top of it, but I've just been a little quiet about it. But looking forward to doing a little more social media. You can also follow me, Mark Garrett, on Facebook as well. And I look forward to getting the racetrack this weekend for the first cup race that I've seen since Martinsville last fall.
Hey, this is Brandon Jones, and you're listening to Southern Race Week.
All right, welcome back into this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio for you here along the far-flung Southern Race Week Radio Network. It's Southie as we continue on this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio, along with the Southern Race Week Radio podcast. As the NHRA series continues their 75th anniversary season, they'll be in Sonoma this upcoming weekend. And to preview all that's going on and also to talk about the schedule release for 2027, let's welcome in a great friend of the show. He is the creator of the Drag Race Bracket Bonanza. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in Mr. Elon Werner!
Alfred, it's great to be with you, buddy.
Mr. Werner, as always, we appreciate it. We take the time to join us here on Southern Race Week Radio, sir, as we get set for another NHRA weekend coming up in Sonoma, wine country. Before we talk about what's going on this weekend in Sonoma, big news released here by the NHRA series just a few weeks ago as we get set to celebrate another anniversary next year in the NHRA series. They have announced the 50 Years of Force celebration to recognize the 16-time Funny Car champion, John Force, who recently retired from driving in the NHRA series, but NHRA want to give him an opportunity to celebrate 50 years of Force. This is a huge announcement by the NHRA series, Elon. But not only that, we got a little bit of a change to the way 2027 will kick off next year.
Yeah, we're going to go old school, Alfred. So we're going back to the pre-COVID schedule where we'll start with the Winter Nationals in February and go Winter Nationals, Arizona Nationals back-to-back, and then Gainesville in March, and then the Charlotte four-wide race after that, which I love getting ready and getting started in February. We'll go right to racing, and, you know, they got a lot of things up their sleeves for the 50 years of Force. I'm hoping we're going to see some classic cars, autograph sessions, memorabilia, all kinds of stuff. But it was great news to hear we're starting the season in California in February.
So it looks like, yeah, you just started with a West Coast swing there to kind of kick things off here for the NHRA series. And as we mentioned, the 50 years of Force and John Force and the 16-time champion there in the NHRA series. So for the NHRA to do this really says a lot about what they feel about John Force and what he's done for the NHRA series in his 50 years.
100%. I mean, this truly, you know, John's announcement last year that he was retiring was a bit of a surprise just in the timing, but you know, just glad to have him back out there and being able to celebrate all his accomplishments from, you know, winning the most races, the most number one qualifiers, 1,000-round wins, 16 championships. He has so much history at every track we're going to go to next year. It's going to be exciting to just celebrate him and the whole organization, really, because, you know, John Force Racing obviously is John Force, but so much history was made by Ashley and Brittany and Courtney Force and Mike Neff and Eric Medlin and Tony Pedregon, you know, just from Gary Densham to Robert Height, the list of drivers that contributed to the 50 years of success and more for John Force Racing is just really impressive, and it's going to be a lot of fun to celebrate that, you know, kicking off with the Winter Nationals next year in mid-February.
And you know what, Elon, it's really strange because earlier this year I was in Valdosta when the NHRA Series made a stop there for the Southern Nationals, and to see John Force's team without a Force involved some way behind the wheel is very strange, but it seems that they've handed off the reins to a lot of great talent there at John Force Racing that it can only continue on to bring in championships and wins throughout the rest of however long John Force Racing is going to be around for.
Yeah, for sure. This season is the first time since 1978 that there hasn't been a Force on any entry lists. But the drivers they have, you know, representing the organization, you know, in Funny Car with Alexis DeJoria and Jack Beckman and Jordan Vandegrift, and then Josh Hart driving the Speedmaster Top Fuel Dragster that was Brittany's car. You know, they've got a great group of young drivers, qualified drivers, accomplished drivers. They're all winning races. It's, you know, their future looks very bright. I understand, you know, Danny Hood, Ashley Force Hood's husband, is crew chief. You know, his oldest son, Jacob, I think, is interested in getting into the racing business. They've always been hockey guys before this. So, you know, you might get another Force descendant in the organization. Ashley, or Autumn Height, Robert Height's daughter with John's first daughter, Adra, is a sportsman racer. So, you know, their legacy is, you know, so impressive, you know, led by John Force, who's still out there making decisions, spending time with fans, spending time with sponsors. You know, it's just really, really exciting, and I'm really looking forward to next season.
Well, it should be exciting. The first four races of the 2027 season have been announced: Pomona, Phoenix, Gainesville, and Charlotte. Head on over to NHRA.com to check out the story, and hopefully pretty soon we'll get the rest of the 2027 season announced here as we get set to hopefully return back here to Valdosta next year for more NHRA action. As we're speaking with Elon Warner, he is the owner, creator of Warner Communications, and also the creator of the Drag Race Bracket Bonanza, which will be once again in action this weekend. Elon, as you guys are going to be heading to Sonoma Wine Country this upcoming weekend, getting set to go. And, of course, the battle for playoff position continues on.
Yeah.
What are some of the drivers, if some of our listeners are going to be participating in the Drag Race Bracket Bonanza, what are some of the drivers that maybe they should keep an eye on, and maybe some of those upset bracket busters that we could help out as well, maybe bust things up a little bit?
Yeah, I think in Top Fuel, it's hard to go against the Coletta cars of Sean Langdon and Doug Coletta, although the last three races have been won by Maddie Gordon, Leah Pruitt, and Antron Brown. I think your dark horses are Justin Ashley and Josh Hart. They've done well in Sonoma and Top Fuel. Funny Car is just J.R. Todd has done great in Sonoma. I think also Ron Capps is a guy to keep an eye on. And then in Pro Stock, Greg Stanfield and Aaron Stanfield were in the final last year. Greg won it, but it's hard to go against Greg Anderson and Dallas Glenn with the KB Titan crew. One cool thing about this weekend is the Pro Stock Motorcycle guys will be doing the Getrex Pro Stock All-Star Callout. Denso stepped up to basically help get the eight best Pro Stock Motorcycle drivers out to Sonoma. They're going to do time trials on Friday and do a specialty race on Saturday, which will also have its own TV show on FS1 on Saturday night. So it'll be a cool weekend for the Pro Stock Motorcycles. Gage Schrer, Richard Gadsden, Matt and Angie Smith, Chase Van Zandt, Gianna Evaristo, John Hall, and Steve Johnson. They actually pick who they want to race, and they race for, I think, $25,000-$30,000. It's their biggest payday. So lots going on in Sonoma this weekend. It's an amazing track. You can watch the race on FS1. But for Drag Race Bracket Bonanza, you can sign up at dragracebracketbonanza.com. We're actually finishing up our Funny Car Major Moments bracket, so you can go there right now. And we have the 64 greatest Funny Car moments. That's going to go through Saturday. And then Saturday night, you can fill out your brackets in Top Fuel, Funny Car, and Pro Stock for the Sonoma Nationals.
And Elon, also, they'll be able to follow you guys' social media as well. Could you give out those handles if our listeners want to follow you guys on social media?
Yeah, so on Facebook and Instagram, it's just Drag Race Bracket Bonanza. And then on X or Twitter, it's just Drag Race BB. So we do a lot of updates. If you sign up now, we do email updates. We do a tip sheet on Friday, and then reminders for text and email. So just head over to dragracebracketbonanza.com. Hit us on any of our social It's going to be a busy weekend. And like you said earlier, there's four more races in the regular season, Alfred. So people are jockeying for playoff position. They're trying to, you know, stay in the top 10 if they haven't gone to every race. So this race, Sonoma, Seattle back-to-back, and then Brainerd, and then, of course, the U.S. Nationals Labor Day weekend with points and a half are just super critical to set teams up for success in the last six races countdown.
Hey, this is Josh Harris, president of Darlington Raceway, and you're listening to Southern Race Week.
All right, welcome back into this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio for you here along the far-flung Southern Race Week Radio Network at Southie. As we continue on with this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio, along with the Southern Race Week Radio podcast. And coming up next Thursday at Echo Park Speedway, the championship round of Thursday Thunder will be taking place on Thursday, July 23rd. And our next guest is in position to win himself another Thursday Thunder championship. Right now joining us is the driver in the Pro Legends division of Thursday Thunder. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in a great friend of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Jensen Jorgensen. Mr. Jorgensen, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this week here on Southern Race Week Radio. Hopefully you're having a great day today, my friend.
Absolutely. I always love the grand entrance you got for me. And no, I'm thrilled to be back on the show. And that usually means I'm doing good things. So happy to be here.
Well, you have been doing a great job. You've been dominating Thursday Thunder. And congratulations. Earlier in the week, you got your first victory at the summer shootout there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. You've been dominating Thursday Thunder. But you said you've been kind of roughing it up there with Charlotte and the summer shootout, but you came away with your first victory earlier in this week. Tell us a little bit about that victory.
Oh, it was fantastic. Kind of very disappointing year up to this point. And finally, last night, I was able to get the monkey off my back and get the win up there. Very competitive field, a lot of fast cars. I have had top five speed all year, but just not really top three speed. I've been like a fourth or fifth place car all year. But last night, I definitely was the fastest car in the first race. And the second race, maybe not so much. There was a lot of dirt, a lot of oil on the track and radiator fluid, and didn't quite get the result I wanted to in that one. But nonetheless, I got the first win. And going into round 9 and 10 up there, we can see if we snag us another one. But Atlanta, extremely successful year so far, winning 6 of 9. The car has been great all year. And I say that, I think I've qualified pole one out of the first 9 races, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So not necessarily the most fire off qualifying speed, but just my long race, consistent run experience, along with making sure, you know, I've had so many years running at nighttime at Echo Park Speedway that, you know, come nighttime, my car is so good. Just not so much when the sun's beating on the track for come qualifying time, but nighttime, the car's always been great. And I've just used my experience a lot this year to capture a lot of these victories. And winning 6 of 9, I feel like it's a very successful year up to this point. I've got a big points lead. I think all I have to do is start the race and get through tech. So with those two things, I'll be capturing my fourth straight eagle, which is awesome. Couldn't be more thrilled with that. And yeah, maybe we can snag us another Charlotte win as well, top the summer off, and we'll kind of get us a break here in the next few months, after the next couple weeks, and you know, be pretty happy with how the summer's gone.
Well, let me ask you something, Jensen. You mentioned that you struggle at Charlotte, but you're just dominating at Echo Park. Is there anything about those two tracks that differentiate that you struggle on one but super successful on the other?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The setups are fairly close between the two tracks. They drive totally different, though. And obviously, the racing is totally different. Echo Park, it seemed to have been probably a bit cleaner, I would say. Seems like more long run speed is important at Echo Park. It seems like we don't get many cautions there. So you just got to be prepared for a long, long run. Save your brakes, save your tires. And Charlotte's kind of the opposite. You're getting a lot of short run stints. I need to make sure that you're, you know, on the verge of aggressive, because you have to be aggressive, but you can't be too aggressive and be the caution, because there will be a caution at Charlotte, and you just want to make sure you're not in it. So all that considered, the mindset's different for both tracks, and yeah, the car is a good bit different as well. But all in all, I think I can easily use my experience at both places, and I can use, you know, if I do get a long run speed at Charlotte, I'm able to use my Atlanta experience on that. Or if I'm getting short run, if I have a short run shootout at Atlanta, I'm able to use my experience at Charlotte there. So I think there's definitely a benefit of running both. And I am one of only a few that do both series throughout the summer. There's not many people that do that. So I feel I can use that as an advantage at both places. And if I figure out something at one track that works on my car, I'll go do it at the other track to see if it works there. So a lot of things, a lot of variables that go into it to see exactly what might work best at one or the other. But I think more than anything, just experience is, goes a long way running both the series.
Speaking with Pro Legends driver at Thursday Thunder, Jensen Jorgensen, on this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio. And you just told us just a couple of minutes ago, Jensen, that basically just with a start and you can pass tech, that you're going to come away with your fourth straight championship in the Pro Legends division there at Echo Park Speedway. You mentioned you've won 6 of the 9 events there. And during that run, you picked up your 50th win in all the divisions there at Thursday Thunder. You have just dominated the last 4 years, sir, and winning 4 championships. I don't know if that's something that's been done before at Thursday Thunder, but tell me about your thoughts on this season and how you're going to be wrapping it up with another championship under your belt.
Yeah, so to my understanding, I'm not really the stat book king or nothing, but I have heard that I think nobody has done it in the pro division winning 4 in a row. Doug Stevens, I think, was the closest with 3, and he had just lost his 4th one by I think maybe a point or something back in like the early 2000s. So just to be even in talks with Doug Stevens is awesome, is amazing. I mean, he's really the GOAT of legend racing in my opinion. So you know, just to be talked about in the same record book as him is just amazing. But at the same time, you know, I don't necessarily do it for that. I really do it for hobby. I don't really chase the record book. I just have a enjoy doing it. But no, yeah, I think I hit the 50 win milestone about round 3 or 4 of Thursday Thunder this year. And that's something that very few have done in the Thursday Thunder series. And that just means a lot for me. I've been doing it so long, and Thursday Thunder truly has been something that has been a big part of my life. I mean, I've ran every Thursday Thunder season since 2009. So that's actually insane to even think about that we're in 2027 and I'm saying that, but so it's been a big part of my life. And you know, obviously I guess the longer you do something, the more you'll perfect it. So you know, I've done it for a very long time. I've gotten very experienced and very good at working on my own car and knowing the track. And obviously I went through the repave and that changed some things. And I mean, obviously we've gone through different cars, different engine packages, different tire programs, different brakes. So I've been a part of a lot of changes throughout the years at Echo Park Speedway, and to be able to still be you know, obviously adding wins to my win total at Echo Park Speedway in the Thursday Thunder series is awesome. But yeah, no, I mean I think it's great that I'm gonna be the first to ever do that if everything goes like it should. No, I mean, I love Thursday Thunder. I love what they have to offer for young kids racing. And there's a lot of drivers I've raced with and that I've beat, not to toot my horn or nothing, but that have gone to the high ranks of NASCAR. And, you know, I take a little bit of pride of the memories I've made with some of those drivers and knowing that I've beat them and that I've kind of gone down in the record books as, you know, one of the most successful legend racers out of the state of Georgia, you know, at Echo Park Speedways.
Hey, it's Austin Hill, and you're listening to Southern Race Week.
All right, welcome back into this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio for you here along the far-flung Southern Race Week Radio Network. It's Alfie as we wrap up this brand new week's edition of Southern Race Week Radio along with the Southern Race Week Radio podcast. Once again, want to give a big thanks to our great guests for joining us this week here on the program. Thanks to our NASCAR insider, Mark Garrow, along with the creator of the Drag Race Bracket Bonanza, Elon Warner, and of course, late model driver at Thursday Thunder's Pro Division Series, Jensen Jorgensen. Thanks to these great guests for joining us this week here on Southern Race Week Radio. And if you'd like to go back and listen to this week's edition or any of our previous episodes of Southern Race Week Radio, check us out at iHeartRadio, Odyssey, iTunes, or Spotify. So feel free to head on over to one of those podcast locations, go to the search, type in Southern Race Week, and you'll be able to download, listen in, and subscribe to the Southern Race Week Radio podcast. We'd really appreciate it if you did subscribe and like our Southern Race Week Radio podcast. Once again, that's at Odyssey, iHeartRadio, iTunes, or Spotify. And don't forget, we are delivering to you the racing news that you need 24 hours a day, 7 days out of the week. NASCAR, NHRA, IndyCar, grassroots racing. You'll get the latest news and information right there on our social media platform. So like and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Southern Race Week or on X at Southern Race Week Radio, or actually that's at SRW Radio. And of course, we have an email address for you as well. So feel free to send us your comments and thoughts to srwradio@yahoo.com. That is srwradio@yahoo.com. But enjoy the rest of your racing weekend. We'll catch back up with you next week for with another all new week edition of Southern Race Week Radio for you here along the far flung Southern Race Week Radio Network.